smell that bacon?
Italian.
Good? Woo. Who likes to eat? Perfect. Love it. What are some of your favorite foods?
Bananas.
Bacon. Nice. It's because it's on your mind, right? What else? Seafood. What else? French fries, meatballs. Spaghetti and meatballs. Woo. Thank you so much. What are some other foods you like?
Lettuce.
What? Bacon. Love it. Everybody loves bacon. It's great. What else? Strawberries? Fruit? Subway. Who likes Subway? Yeah. Got a lot of fans here. A lot of fans. What else you like? Taco Bell. Okay. Okay. Listen. What are some things that maybe, what are some foods that maybe that just don't agree with you?
Liver. Eggs.
Eggs. What's that? Raw onions. What else? What's that? Lamb chops. What are some other, beets? What else? What are some foods that just don't agree with you? Listen up. What's that? Oh, roast. Okay. Asparagus. All right. I have two people. Who's two people that want to come up here and eat with me? Bacon and eggs. Bacon and eggs. Savannah, Joe. Get up here. Joe, get over here. All right. But before you eat, go ahead, sit down. Before you eat, we're going to talk a little bit, okay? We're going to talk a little bit. When you go out with your friends to eat, walk me through it. Like, if you go out to eat with a friend or whatever like that, walk me through it. How's it go down? You get there, what?
Order.
Okay, so you look at a menu. A lot of times you have to look at a menu unless you go to Taco Bell and you just know what you like. But a lot of times if you go new place or something like that, you look at the menu, find something you like, and you order, okay? What else? That? Drinks? What's that? Wait? You have to wait? Okay, what is that? Conversation, right? There's conversation, correct? What else? Food gets there? And then you slam, right? But during that time that you're slamming, I mean, what happens? You guys talk? Do you guys eat? I know some of you double fist, right? Talk and eat. Who just slams when they get it? That's it. Me and my buddy Joe. Listen up. Me and my buddy Joe, when we go out to eat, honestly, if we're starved, this is what we say. We look at our food, we look at each other and say, see you in a few. And we just go. Right? And we usually don't see each other until a few minutes later. You know, plates are clean. Now we can talk. Right? When we're starved, I mean, it's like see you in a few. You know, when you're starved, does it taste that much better? I mean, when you're like really starved and really thirsty, when you drink a Dr. Pepper, you taste every 23 flavor. You know what I'm saying, right? You're really thirsty and you're slamming. You taste every flavor in there. When you're hungry and you're starved, what? Tastes that much better, doesn't it? Smells that much better. How many smell the bacon extra today because you didn't eat breakfast? Absolutely. You know, bacon took over your mind because that's what you wanted, right? You smelled it, and that's what you want and everything, correct? All right. A couple other things here. Actually, there's a verse that I want to talk about being starved and how good food tastes. Proverbs 27:7. Let me read it real quick. Okay. Proverbs 27:7 says, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. So honeycomb is something sweet. So when you're full, that honeycomb, you don't even want. I mean, it's so sweet to taste and everything like that. You don't even want it. But it says, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. So to the hungry soul, everything that's even bitter tastes sweet to you because, man, you're just that hungry. It just will take you over. Okay, so before we eat, I want you to answer a couple questions. Same with you, okay? Okay. And you have to talk. I want you to talk. I want you to explain it in detail on everything, okay? And you can't stop. I want you to talk until you're done with your whole thought, okay? Tell me maybe the most special thing or the most exciting thing that happened this week, even if it's kind of like lame, but it was something exciting that caused a bunch of stir or whatever like that. Why don't you tell me what it is? You know what it is? Yeah. Can you think of something? Okay, go ahead and start talking to me about it.
I went to the movies.
Okay, what happened? Don't stop. Don't stop. You got to talk loud so everybody can hear you.
I went to the movies.
Okay. Mother's Day. I want you to tell me everything that you did, okay, from what gifts you got her to what happened that whole day, okay? You think about it? All right? Okay, go ahead and go. Go. Don't stop.
Okay?
Hold on. Is that it? Okay, good job. That sounds exciting. Okay. All right. What's the most exciting thing, almost exhilarating thing that you've ever done? Like, have you ever gone whitewater rafting, skydiving, whatever? Do you know what that is? You do? Okay, go ahead. That sounds like a lot. Yeah, I know. All right, so are you done? That was it? That sounds exciting. Okay. What are you doing today after church?
Probably nothing, because I have
no idea. Okay. All right, thanks. You guys can be seated.
What?
You guys can sit down. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. Yep.
That's it?
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. You guys are awesome. That sucks, doesn't it? How bad does that suck? I mean, seriously. I mean, you have this perfect meal sitting right here, right? Good, you smell the bacon, everything. And yet, you couldn't partake in it. You couldn't even touch it. How does that relate to every single week we're here? How does that relate with our time with God and every single time that we step in this church? Talk to me. How does it relate? Let me tell you. Some of you, Wednesdays and Sundays is your only spiritual meal you get all week. Some of you don't feed yourself throughout the week, getting in the Bible, praying. So when you come Wednesdays and Sundays, this is your spiritual meal. And how many times do you guys come and don't partake in it? I asked them questions. I wanted to hear some of the best things in their week, in their life. But what was I doing? Texting, what else was I doing? Talking to someone else. How does that relate? Because sometimes when we're here for our spiritual meal, we miss it. Because we're texting or talking to our friends. I see you guys in here doing it. I see you guys in the bridge doing it. And that is such an insult. Let me tell you something. That's such an insult, not only for the food, but for the person who prepared it. Thank you, Cassie, for preparing this. I appreciate it. But what an insult that we couldn't partake in it. Why? Because we're too busy. It's an insult to her, and it's an insult to the food. God has given us food. God has given us his word as food. It's the bread of life. But yet we insult it when we don't want to partake in it. And we snub our nose at it. And for the people who prepared it, Jay and Pastor Ed prepare all week long, if not even longer, to prepare something for you. And you guys snub your nose at it every single week. How many think anorexia is hot? Right? Yeah, I said hot. Anorexia. Who thinks it's hot? Nobody? I mean, you know, skin and bones, that's not hot, right? That's not the end thing now. But it's funny, to the person who is, what do they think? What's that? They think they look good. What else? What else do they think? They're not comfortable with themselves. What else? Do they think about the nutritional values of things or whether they're, you know? But yet, some of us here are spiritually anorexic. We have no substance to us whatsoever. And yet, we're more concerned about, because when you're spiritually anorexic, you only think and concerned about how you look. But you're not too concerned about the substance behind it and whether you're nutritionally secure and safe. So let me ask you something. When this meal is prepared, I challenge you every single week, your friends, your phone, whatever, hey, see you in a few. This is my time to starve. When you're starving and it tastes that much better and you're double fisting, right? Because I know I've seen some of you, especially at my house, double fisting like nothing. You know, I'm like, man, save something for somebody else. You guys are taking, you know, three servings and putting them on one plate, man. We have to have these little plastic things underneath the paper plates just to hold up your food. But yet, you guys come here and you're so starved and you don't partake in it. And I just don't get it. And I'm concerned. Just like you'd be concerned if your friend was anorexic. I'm concerned. I'm concerned why you guys don't partake in this. I'm concerned why that this has become such a social event for you guys every Sunday and Wednesday, and it's not anything that has any substance to it. Anybody know anything about the story of Club Med? Excuse me. Anybody know what Club Med is? Am I that old?
Yes.
All the leaders are like, you guys know what Club Med is? Yeah. Cassie, seriously? Club Med? What is Club Med? Just kind
of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a membership spot, and it is. Is it cheap?
No.
No. You have to have some money to go to a Club Med. And where are they all located? Right on the coast. They're all right on the coast, and they're very exotic places. And they, I mean, you don't go there if you don't make, you know, a lot of money, right? Let me tell you the history behind it for a second. Club Med, before it was ever Club Med, was basically people who would look out from the shore, and if there's anything that was going on, disaster or whatever else, they would keep an eye on the shore to make sure everybody was safe. So if somebody was out there in a boat who went out fishing, all of a sudden a storm came in, they would make sure that person got back in. If not, they would go out and get them, which is pretty risky, right? Everybody's seen the movie Guard, Coast Guard, with Ashton Kutcher in it and Kevin Costner? Okay, all right, another guy. Okay, another guy. Most of it's girls, I understand, chick flick, but whatever. That's right. So anyway, basically it's the Coast Guard. And they would go out and they'd get these people in, whether they risk their own lives at doing it or not, okay? And so what happened is people kind of started buying into this. Like, yeah, this is kind of good. And they started investing money and they started building these little buildings and things like that. So when people would be coming in, they'd be injured. They'd be able to get a shower, things like that. They'd be able to nurse them back to health, whatever the case was, okay? But the more and more it got going, they started having events there and they started having different things there. And before you know it, became this really ritzy place. And there was one time where they were having kind of a party and a storm came in, and the people who kind of had this idea of, like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out and save people. A storm came in. They went out, and a ship was in distress, went out and got them and brought them in. And as they brought them in, people were like, who are these people? It had become such a social thing that they forgot the whole meaning behind what it was for, and that was to nurse people back to health. Guys, if we don't start changing our focus on what Sundays and Wednesdays are for, church is going to be a social club, and we're going to totally forget about nursing people back to health who are hurt and destroyed. We're going to miss it. We are so going to miss it. I want to read just a few things of Scripture. Psalms 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If you do not get into this and taste, you will never see how good the Lord really is. If you do not come here and listen to what the message is and take it home and apply it to your life, you'll never see how good the Lord is. The Lord is amazing. But you have to taste of it first. You will never know how good, truly good, this bacon is until you taste it. Yeah, you've tasted bacon before, but you haven't tasted this bacon right here, right now. You will never know how good it tastes and how good it is unless you taste it. Psalms 119, 103. 119, 103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Talking about the word of God, how good it tastes to him, sweeter than even honey. You see how good this tastes. Matthew 4, 4. One more. Matthew 4, 4. "But he answered and said unto them, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Yeah, we're so worried about our every three square meals a day plus snacks in between, but yet we don't understand that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. This right here. This is even more important than bread itself. Yet we'd rather shove ourselves full of everything else but this. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. Sorry, I don't have all these marked out. I'm just flipping. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud of the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. And they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." He's saying they ate of spiritual meat, and they drank of spiritual drink. What is that? It's Christ. It's Christ. Do you guys understand? Do you guys see where I'm going with this? This has so much substance to it that some of us come in here, and week after week, we are so spiritually malnourished. But yet we'd rather eat, what are some of those foods that don't agree with us? Liver? Sardines? What else? What are some of those foods that don't, but yet we'd rather go partake of all that stuff that doesn't agree with us, all that sin, all the stuff that just so disagrees with us. We'd rather eat that stuff. But yet none of you guys would touch liver if it was handed up to you, especially if you don't like it and disagree with it. Well, I don't want that. But yet you'd rather eat that stuff out there. You'd rather partake of the sin and all the stuff out there that just absolutely would lead you wrong and do all this other stuff than partake in this. It's so sweet. It will show us how good the Lord really is. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Talking about babes in Christ here. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, nor now are you able to bear it. He's talking about babes. Listen, let me tell you something. As you're a new Christian, you need to be, I have a baby, has to have milk. Has to. Can I give it a hot dog right now? Destroy it, right? I'm not going to give my kid, you know, and not only that, but who has to feed? Either me or Jody. Someone's had to feed. It's not going to sit there and feed itself, correct? So as a Christian, and as now, okay, you guys need to start taking milk. You guys need to start taking the things. We can't sit there and talk to you about, you know, the seven different baptisms. What? Okay? You're just not going to get it. We can't tell you about some of these great, deep things that the Bible has in store for you that God wants you to know. But you got to start off on milk. And then eventually you can start on meat, and then you can start feeding yourself, right? And that's why I say some of this Wednesdays and Sundays are your only spiritual meals, because through the week you either don't know how or don't put in the time to feed yourself by reading the Word. This is your time. You need to start on milk, because let me tell you something. If you guys start going through here and you don't reach time to eat spiritual meat out of this thing and to know how to defend yourself and to know how to go in and answer questions, not only what you believe, but why you believe it, you're in some trouble. I have a brother, younger brother. Anybody know the situation of my younger brother? Some people in here know the situation of my younger brother. because they know him. He kind of grew up through church. He grew up here in this church, okay? He is, this is bad because, you know, there was kind of a separation from me and him. But he's like 22, 23. Anybody kind of know? He's right on that age, right? 22, 23, I know. Went through CBCA, okay? Not all the way. Something happened. He had to leave, okay? In college. Gets tore up at college by professors and by other people about what he believes and why he believes it. He had no idea. He grew up in church, and he had no idea. He grew up in church and had no idea. How does that happen? How does that happen? He grew up in church and had no idea not only what he believed, but why he believed it. Tell me how that's so. So he got roped into all sorts of things because they started picking away at him, and he started not believing. And he basically gave up on Christianity altogether. He grew up in church, still had no idea. He got roped in so many things that as a young college stupid kid would do, he got in some trouble. He's doing 2 years in prison at 22 years old. Because he got roped into believing some things that he shouldn't believe. Because he didn't know how to defend himself. Because he never got off the milk and he got into the meat. So do you see the application here? Some good eggs and bacon here. But if you're busy with your friends, with your phones, with everything else, you're going to miss the meal. And you're going to go through here, and it's going to be for nothing. Would you go through 12 years of school? Would you go through 12 years of school to know that once you get out, you will never make a dime? Would you go through just for the education and not knowing that it's preparing you for what's out there? Would you spend 12 years in school doing it? Probably not. It's kind of silly, right? Why should I do this? It's not going to help me do anything down the road. Why would you go through 12 years of coming to church for nothing? Partake in the meal, people. It's right here. It's served up week in, week out for you, and it's good stuff. The problem is it never leaves here, and you guys don't apply it to your life. As soon as you eat this food, it goes in as nutrients, and it starts breaking it up and going to where it needs to go right away. But as anorexia or bulimia, people who are bulimic, what do? What's that? They eat, and then what do? They put their finger down their throat and throw it back up. Not only do we have spiritual anorexia going on here and spiritual malnourishment, but we have spiritual bulimia. Because, guys, you guys take this stuff and you hear it, and then you walk out the door and you stick your finger down your throat and you throw it all up. And it doesn't do what it's supposed to be doing. Partake in the meal. My challenge to you from here on out is when this time comes, even in the worship, here, when the music starts here, through the service, see you in a few. I'm starved, and I'm slamming. Use the time in between here and the bridge. Do your social time. As soon as the music starts, see you in a few. Because I'm starved. This down here, it's just the appetizer. Up there is a meal. We're going to start discipleship soon. Discipleship is going to take you that milk and turn it into meat as you grow. And I encourage you guys, when that happens, that you still come and you partake in that, because you're going to need to know why you believe what you believe. Because if not, I'm telling you right now, this world is waiting for you out there to chew you up and spit you out and tell you you are stupid for believing what you believe. And I'm telling you, you're not. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets through the Father except through me. This is the only way. They're going to tell you out there that there's all sorts of ways, all sorts of sides of the mountains. Getting to the top, that's the only important thing. It's not true. They're going to feed you full of lies. They're going to give you everything else. And they're going to throw little bits of food out in front of you that are going to look good, like Snickers bars and Reese cups and all this other stuff. And you're going to grab after it because it looks so good. But it's not nourishment for you. If all you lived on was Reese cups and Snickers bars, you'd be in bad shape. But that's all they have to offer. They don't have any substance to it. They don't have any meat to it. You've got to know